Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
Good to be with you again, and the real name of this program is the question I always ask it on every show at the beginning, and I will today. Are you financially fit? Are you financially fit, folks? That's what we want to know, and if you're not, our job is to help you get into that position by listening to what we have to say and listening to the experts that we bring to you each week who have a thing or two to tell you that will hopefully help you get that way. What do I mean by financially fit? Are you making more than you spend, or are you spending more than you make? Number two, do you have 6 months of what I call survival savings to meet all expected expenses? Now, that's 6 months. So everything it's going to cost you right now that you know about, I want you to make sure you've got 6 months of that savings set aside. And that's survival. But I also want you to have an emergency pile of money. And as much as you can possibly put together, have that emergency pile. And you can save some of that, too, in different ways. But make sure that you have the money that that you need to survive for 6 months. And are you saving at least 5% of your income on a monthly basis? Now, folks talk about 5, 10, 15, at least 5% of every dime you make. Put it away in your savings. And that's not a part of your survival. This is something that's going to be there for you in the long run. Maybe it goes into an investment fund, whatever, make sure you put away that. If you do, you'll be thanking me for that. That's my take, but I'm not an expert. I do have experts today with you, and our first expert is a gentleman who I've known for several years, Rick Edelman. That should be no surprise. He is everywhere, founder and executive and chairman of Edelman Financial Services. He's been named one of America's top wealth advisors by Forbes magazine. It ranks him number 10 from more than 11,000 nominations. And it's all about, planning and investment management services to more than 30,000 individuals and families, and he manages some $16 billion in assets. Does he have your money? Well, he might want it, but God knows he's busy as he can be, yet he takes the time to join us to talk about this whole business of investing. Rick, welcome to Home and Family Finance. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, Paul. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I appreciate it. I know how busy you are, my friend, and now I think it's important, to talk about, I know you've reissued your book, which was Rescue Your Money. What do you do? Update it a little bit to include the new stuff?
Exactly. When I first wrote the book, it was in 2009 because of the credit crisis of 08. Everybody was just petrified with all the massive losses that so many people sustained in the stock market, and there was a lot of fear.
Right.
So we wrote the book, Rescue Your Money, to help people deal with the economic crisis of that era. And that book has proven to be very, very popular. It's a national bestseller, one of my best-rated books on Amazon.com, and it's a quick read. Unlike all my other books, which, you know, are hundreds and hundreds of pages long,
right,
this one is a really quick read. You can read the whole thing in a single sitting. And people really like it because it covers the specific single topic of what do I do with my money? How do I invest in today's tumultuous times? So the book's really popular, but it got old. I mean, the data in the book goes back to 08. So I wanted to update it to cover what's happening now. And so we revised the book to bring it current to December 31 of 2015. It covers all the new information, and all of the facts and figures, charts and graphs are all fully updated to today, but the advice is identical. So that everything I told you to do back in 09 is exactly what we're telling you to do today. The advice is now time-tested. It demonstrates that what we were telling you to do back in 08 and 09 still applicable today, and the book is now current, ready for you to digest right now.
It's Rick Edelman's book. It's called Rescue Your Money, and I advise you to get a copy. Listen, folks, you don't have to be a genius, although the writer is when it comes to this business, but he puts the book together in a way that you can understand it and you can follow. And as you just heard him say, it's about what's happening now, and let's talk about what's happening now. Rick, this is interesting times here. And so folks are trying to decide, you know, is this it's like when they're not buying houses for a while because they're not really sure what's going to happen. Is that the same thing in terms of the investment to market at this point?
Unfortunately, that is an attitude many people have, Paul, and it's because people tend to be focused on the here and now, the short term. And they're encouraged to behave that way from the media, because the media is always telling you what's happening today, this moment, this minute, and they make it sound like it matters. And it doesn't matter at all. And so people are focusing on entirely the wrong things. Yeah. Instead of focusing on your future, your long-term goals, your kid getting into college in 5 years, you retiring in 10 or 20 years, living another 30 years in retirement. Instead of focusing on the long term, people are obsessed with today. So we hear a lot of conversation about the election, for example.
Right, right.
I mean, we all know what a big deal this election is. But you know what? From a financial perspective, from an economic perspective, the election is really largely irrelevant. And we've done research on this. We've gone back to every presidential administration since 1948 to examine what happened to the financial markets, whether there was a Republican in office or a Democrat in office. And we looked at it not just by presidents, but also by who controls the House and who controls the Senate.
Fabulous.
And our research.
Hold on just a minute,
clear.
Because hold up. This is great stuff. We're talking about the impact of the political silly season, and what you're hearing Rick say is, look, folks, don't worry about it. When we come back, we'll ask him how do we adjust and what we should be concerned about in terms of deciding how and where and when we're going to invest our money. This is Home and Family Finance. Are you financially fit? We'll be back with more with Rick Edelman right after this.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Pleased to have with us Rick Edelman, a New York Times bestselling author, radio announcer, and radio show. You can listen to him a couple of hours on different stations around the country. And also, as we were talking about seminars where he has a chance to one-on-one with you. So you can look him up and decide where you would like to get together with him. And, of course, you can always go get his book and read what he thinks about a lot of different things. The political silly season. So I guess the point is we deal with it. We're just hitting it. We're hearing about it every second. But that's not how you decide where you invest your money, right?
Exactly right. I mean, this election is vitally important. There are serious issues confronting our nation, and the two candidates have very different views. And so it is important. I don't mean to minimize it in the least.
Right,
however,
right.
When it comes to your investment strategy, you can ignore all this nonsense because presidents don't have as much influence on the financial markets as the media tries to make it sound. So don't worry about it. But I mean, think about this. When are you going to retire? If it's 20 years from now, whoever's president today is going to be long gone.
That's right.
By the time you're in retirement. So recognize that presidents, they're not kings, they're not dictators, they're not popes. They don't hang around forever. And you're going to have four or five more presidents in your lifetime, maybe 20 more presidents in your lifetime if you're really young. You need to just recognize that the media makes it sound like a big deal from a financial and economic perspective, but quite frankly,
yeah,
there are other issues more important than that.
And I get that, and I appreciate you sharing that with the audience. So let me ask you the other question here, because now it seems, Rick Edelman aside, because obviously we know your positions and the importance of it, but I am bombarded, Rick, with all kinds of investment companies from every different angle saying, come invest with us. How does one know? What are the is it my particular situation? How do I know which investment company that I should go to? What's right for me?
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul, because that's the key issue. It used to be picking investments was the big dilemma. Today, it's picking the investment advisor.
Yes.
Because most folks today are not doing it on their own. They are hiring people like me and my firm. There are hundreds of thousands of investment advisors out there and millions of stockbrokers and insurance agents, bank folks, all of whom are happy to have you turn your assets over to them. So how do you pick them? And here's how. And in my book, in fact, The Truth About Money, this is the first book that I wrote, mm-hmm, named Book of the Year a couple of times. In that book is part 13 called How to Choose a Financial Advisor. And on my website, I take from the book the 18 questions you should ask an advisor that you're thinking of hiring. If you've already hired an advisor, go back and ask them these 18 questions. The book shows you, and on the website for free at rickedelman.com, it shows you what you should ask and what those answers ought to be. And there are two very basic, most important questions. Number one, what are the services you provide and who do you provide them to? In other words, you want to know that this advisor has experience doing what you need this advisor to do. Mm-hmm. Is it investments? Is it insurance? Is it financial planning? Are you worried about college for your kids? Are you a retirement planning? Do you have a wills and trusts, estate planning issues? Do you have credit and debt issues? What is it that's important to you? What is it you're concerned about? What is it that you hope to achieve? What are your goals? What are your objectives? And you want to make sure the advisor has experience dealing with those issues, because they're like doctors. Different advisors have specialties in different areas, just like doctors do and lawyers do. And so you want to deal with an advisor who's experienced with your circumstances. That's number one. And you want to make sure, related to that, that the advisor is used to dealing with people that are like you. How much you have in income, how much you have to invest. Some advisors only deal with people that have $50 million or more. So you don't want that kind of advisor.
No, because you're going to get overlooked. Million. You're going to be totally overlooked. I mean, you know, it's the same thing in real estate. If you hire an agent who's dealing in the million-dollar houses and you're asking him to sell your $400,000 house, you're not going to be on the top of his list. And I think what you're saying is the same thing with advisors. Get somebody that's used to dealing with your level of income and your level of sophistication.
Right. And just ask the advisor. Tell me about your clients. Are they married? Are they employed? Are they retired? Are they do they have $100,000? Do they have $10 million? Just ask them. Who are your typical clients? Like, you go to a surgeon. You want to do surgery on my knee. Have you ever done that before? How often have you done that surgery?
Rick Edelman, my guest, folks. I told you, good stuff. Look, this is advice to invest by. When we come back, we'll talk about the importance of a certified investor and a couple of other things that may make your experience much more pleasant. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Are you financially fit? The question we will always ask here on Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network. We thank you for joining us, and we thank our program sponsors, the Defense Credit Union Council, and the CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. They're dedicated to making all of us smarter consumers. The Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. So go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And as we always say, you don't have to be in the military to save, folks. All of us should be saving something. How about 5% of whatever you make every day, every week, every month, every year? You'll be happy that you did. My guest is none other than Rick Edelman, a gentleman who understands the value and importance of saving. He's a New York Times bestselling author. His book, Rescue Your Money, has been updated, is available to you, and we congratulate him on being put on the Forbes list of the most 10 most influential advisors. So let's talk a little bit about this business of the person that I should start off by making sure that they are certified. Is that important, Rick?
Well, you want to know that your advisor has experience, expertise, and one way that advisors can demonstrate that is with professional designations. I hold 6 professional designations myself. It's fair to say that every serious professional advisor will hold one designation or another, whether it's the Certified Financial Planner designation or another. There are more than 100 designations out there. Some of them are generic, like the CFP. Others are a little more specific, where they target a specific area of the financial world, such as investments or college or a certain type of client, like an executive or a widow. So you want to know that your advisor has expertise, and you can just ask them that. And, you know, tell me, what do you do with continuing education? Do you have any certifications? It's a good way to gauge the credibility and the quality of the advisor you might consider hiring.
And, Rick, let's talk a little bit about the other end of this, the person that's going to make the decision, whether they be a millennial, as we've broken them down in so many ways. The truth is there are 300 million people here, and not everybody is investing. Most people don't invest. So how do I decide, when do I decide I should look toward investments as a way of guaranteeing my future? Should I do it after my first job? When are you not going to laugh at me if I walk in your office and say I want to start investing?
Immediately. I mean, we encourage parents to start saving for their children when they're newborns. We encourage people who are earning part-time jobs in the summertime while they're in high school to save money in a Roth IRA. College kids who are working in the summers as well. It's never too early to save. And the biggest advantage is that the sooner you start saving, the younger you are, the more wealth you accumulate over time because of compound growth. We encourage people to save at very young ages, even if it's just a buck or two. If you just save your change, if you just use supermarket coupons, it says save a dollar, and you literally save the dollar, you'd be amazed at how that money can accumulate over time. But it's never too late. That's the good news. Even though we encourage people to say there's never too early, it's also never too late. So if you find yourself in your 50s and you haven't done much yet because of challenges you've had in life with a variety of jobs and job loss from here and there or lost money in the housing crisis of 08 or divorce or medical issues that have forced you to start over in your life, it's never too late. So the key is to start now. Don't procrastinate. Don't delay. Don't lament the past. It doesn't matter. What happened, happened. Nothing you can do about it. Let's focus on the future. I am a financial planner, not a financial historian. I don't really care about the past. I don't care so much what got you here. I'm more interested about where do you want to go, and let's set a plan for helping you get there.
Folks,
the sooner you start, the better off you'll be.
It's just great advice. How can folks reach out to you if they are interested, Rick?
The easiest way is on the internet, rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com, where they can call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. We're happy to help.
The book is called Rescue Your Money. It's a re-release, and it's available to you. And I encourage you folks to get to it and to take a look and to learn a thing or two. Rick, thanks for being with us. Come back and see us again soon, please, would you?
I'd love to do that, Paul. Thank you.
All right, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Love to have you. And when we come back, we'll hear some more. Another person who wants to encourage you to do what Rick has told you to do. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
You be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
All right, we're back. And as you heard Rick say in the segment, it's always a pleasure to have him on the show. There are hundreds of thousands of advisors. You got to find the right one, the one that passes information on to you. Now, look, Rick, some of his clients are off the charts. And what I said to you before, I'll say again. If you've got an advisor, a firm that deal starts at $500,000 for those that who will invest, don't go there if you're going in with $50. I mean, not because he doesn't care about you, but where do you think he's going to put his attention, or he or she, right? So you got to find the right person for you and for the level of investment. Okay? And that's what I'm doing here today with someone who is just as knowledgeable, just as prolific. Two books he's written. The first book is The Total Compensation, A Practical Guide to Federal Employee Benefits. That just drag a lot of folks around here pretty close. And the second book is The Personal Finance Handbook, the one that I'm really excited about. Brian Kuhn is the author of that. He is a CFP, a certified financial planner. He's been in the financial planning business for 15 years. He is the author of those two books. And he is based out of Howard County in Maryland, a local guy into the D.C. area, and married with two daughters aged 2 and 4. So a relatively young man, good-looking guy, Maryland background. There he is. Hey, Brian, nice to have you on the program.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being here.
Yeah. So, and you now, as a licensed planner, this is who are you with? I mean, I know you had a couple things you needed to kind of straighten out here, so let's do that right.
Yeah,
quick.
Right. I have a quick couple lines. Securities offered through Triad Advisors, member FINRA SIPC. Advisor services offered through Planning Solutions Group. Planning Solutions Group is not affiliated with Triad. Okay. PSG Clarity, the division I run, is a division of Planning Solutions Group.
Okay.
Thanks for letting me read that.
Absolutely. You got it that way. Keep you from getting sued. I get it. How long have you been writing?
About 10 years now.
Yeah.
The new book is just out a couple months now. I've been writing articles for a lot of local sites, news sites over the last couple of years. It's a lot of fun.
And a Towson graduate.
Yeah,
right.
Towson graduate.
And Towson is in the state of Maryland, folks, for those of you out in California. So,
bet my wife there. So.
We'll be too much of a homie here, but it's great. Why finance? What drew you to this?
I've always followed the market, like numbers. Both the folks are CPAs, so it wasn't
– Really?
Yeah, both the folks are CPAs. They were, still are, and not too much of a shift from that.
Right. Well, that's interesting. So you were kind of, it was in your blood, so to speak, right?
Yeah. Well, another thing. Yeah, they actually they didn't make it as a couple, and that was a very educational experience. That was when I was.
Was it because of finances?
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what I found out later. It was financial communication, and that's what it's all about, communication.
Yeah.
So that was. That helped me make a decision, you know, help as many people as I can try to sort it out because it's not easy. There's a lot to it, and it's tough.
And what you may not know out there, and you may know it – oh, you may know it by experience, but you may not know it from a knowledgeable point of view, is that finances, the problem with finances, is the primary problem in marriages. Husband and wife fight, argue over finances, folks. It's just – you know, it's just one of those things. You wouldn't think that's the case, but that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And it's because we don't talk about. Mm-hmm. We're not raised to share and to understand and work together.
Yeah,
and
there's lots of reasons. You know, people just not good at math. They don't know the answer. They don't want to talk about something that they don't have the solution to. They're responsible for the well-being of their entire family. That's stressful. So.
Yeah,
there's a lot to it.
It sure is a lot to it. And as I said, more than half of the disputes and divorces are caused by finances. I know some of you are shaking your head. Yeah, man, we're having trouble. You know, I just can't talk to her about that, or she just doesn't understand, or he just doesn't seem to know what we really want. And you got to be able to talk. And I mean, that's one of the things that an advisor can work. You can.
Yeah,
work,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, it's like therapy. Sometimes you get everybody together, and that's the proper forum. Everybody can share their fears and goals and ask questions that maybe you don't have anybody else to ask. So,
and what I like about your book is it is a handbook. It's called the Personal Finance Handbook, and you've written it in a way that you can open it up, look for what your problem is, and go there.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to write a book that you had to read the whole thing, and especially in my generation, attention spans are maybe 10 seconds tops. So,
well, we've got so many options.
Yeah.
You know, my dad didn't have these things that we call, you know, personal computers that we walk around with. They didn't have it.
And they're amazing. I mean, the internet, there's all kinds of information. It can be helpful, but it can also be overwhelming. And I kept talking to people and clients and colleagues who they didn't want to get their answer from the internet all the time. They like curling up with a book and getting some answers. So I wrote down 100 different questions that I've gotten in my travels, you know, which is better, an IRA or a Roth IRA, and how do I know I can retire on time, and all sorts of stuff, legal documents, you know, what do I need. and then just wrote a summary, a perspective on each one. Mm-hmm. And you talk about 100 different questions, it gets pretty lengthy. So it's a long book. It's over 300 pages.
And what I also really like about your book is that you didn't write this from the perspective of a millionaire.
No.
I mean, this is about everyday kitchen table issues that confront us all.
Yeah, credit scores, budgeting, pretty much every topic I touch on that I think is relevant, Social Security, everything. And then you just read the sections that apply to you. You don't have to read every page.
What from your perspective and experience, why do we have such trouble when it comes to dollars and money?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's entirely our own fault necessarily. There aren't easy answers all the time. Sometimes there's just more to pay for than you have coming in. There's all sorts of expenses nowadays that didn't exist. Just like you said with your phone, you got internet, you have all sorts of insurance.
Yeah.
A generation ago, there was a sizable portion of the population that didn't even have health insurance.
Yeah.
They didn't have it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a scary thing, but it's a bill.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it.
Okay.
There's a lot to it.
There's a lot to it, folks, and we're so much more aware. Not only are we involved with so many things, but we're aware of more. So you got to sort that out. And in order to do that, that's where Brian Kuhn says he comes in. He can help you sort through things and figure it out. This is Home and Family Finance. Are you financially fit? We'll always ask you that question. When we come back, we'll hear more from Brian about how you can get your life in order. Stay with us.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My in-studio guest is Brian Kuhn. He's written a book, The Personal Finance Handbook. And we're talking with him about the very basic things that you need to know. That can be helpful to you. How to manage your money well? How to start, Brian? How to start?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were talking as we concluded the last segment about just cash flow and expenses, and it's not easy, and it's sometimes not even a lot of times it's not our own fault. There's only so much income to go around. I was reading about a generation ago, there was a sizable percentage of the population. They didn't even have health insurance. You know, we talk about all the problem it is nowadays, but it's a bill at the end of the day. And I wouldn't want to live without it, but they didn't have it. They didn't have cell phones. You didn't have internet. You didn't have insurance on a wide variety of things. So
and
all
you didn't have $50,000 a year college bills to send your kids to school. Remember, it used to be fairly reasonable.
Yeah. So expenses are going up much faster than income. So a step I take with clients, I try to always do this just to understand, is this is very basic. Just on the left-hand side of a sheet of paper or Excel, I like Excel, but sheet of paper, just write down what your actual monthly net paycheck is. And you wouldn't believe how many people actually don't know how much
they make them.
Yeah. It can vary, but not nine to five people. That's about the same each month. So just write that down, the net amount, what's actually arriving. So the amount that you actually have some control over, theoretically, right, each month. And then on the left, on the right-hand side of that paper, write what I would call the involuntary bills of life, the involuntary stuff, the automated stuff.
That not you gotta
food.
Pay.
Yeah, gotta pay. Not food, not the Nordstrom bill, nothing that is theoretically something that you can control, right? Because we got to know what that net number is that you actually have control over, even if it's only like for a day before it gets.
And let me just say, don't be afraid to do this.
Yeah.
You know why they're afraid to do it? Because I know I may be overspending. I don't really want to know.
Right.
That's a silly way to get through life, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we do it. But you're saying put it down and know it.
Yeah. And then the answer, that number, that positive number, let's hope it's positive. I've done it where it's negative with people, unfortunately, even just the involuntary stuff.
Yeah.
But if it's positive, then how much it is really answers some questions. Because if it's not very big and we haven't even factored in food, then we got to change the involuntary stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's moving. That's, you know, smaller car. That's something. It's harder to change the involuntary stuff.
But you got to do it or you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah. But if it's large enough that you can really do some good things, it's just not going to the right places, then it's a spending issue.
And let me just say, because it's easy for me to sit here and say to people, and I do, make sure you save at least 5% of what you make every month, okay? Mm-hmm. But somebody sits there and says, are you crazy? You know, I can hardly make ends meet. Where am I? How am I going to save? What's your response to that?
Hiding it from yourself is a good way to do it, assuming the money is really there. A lot of people save more than they realize every month. If you add up your 401k contribution, any match you're getting, the principal you're paying down on any debt, like a mortgage, you know, a lot of people, they manage to make that payment once a month, and that's $500 of debt pay down or whatever it is. College funds. If you add up all those little things that you're hiding from yourself, you're probably saving a lot each month. But if you're not doing those or beyond those, a little bit that can be done. A little. Don't stop. Don't avoid doing it because you don't think the money's going to go to a good place. That's a big thing. I hear people say, "I don't want to save," or "I don't bother saving money because what am I going to do? Just put it in a savings account and it'll earn, you know, 6 cents." In there. So that's – just do it anyway. It's just so you have it.
Just go ahead and make sure you do it. And the fact of the matter is, as we know, there are 300 million people, half of those men, women, and then deduct the kids. And you're still talking about a lot of people who don't save. You've got to be disciplined. Mm-hmm. You've got to start now. Otherwise, it doesn't get better because you wait until next month. Mm-hmm. You got to make that if you got to move, you got
to
move.
Yeah. And it doesn't need to be a lot of risk taking. You know, investing, that can just mean savings accounts or extra pay down on debt. That's improving your net worth, so to speak. It can be what are called asset classes that aren't the stock market, you know, so there isn't as much up and down. It's all sorts of positive places to put money. It's just finding one you're comfortable with.
Do we? Is there a classic mistake that we all make or the majority of us make when it comes to investing or being financially sound?
Not investing enough, probably, just like you said, is an example of one, because you got to get your money to grow. But it's hard because you don't know whether it's going to cooperate all the time.
Brian, let me touch base with a lot of folks out there, because when I was growing up, my mom and my grandparents were raped, they didn't have a dime to save. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a history of anybody saving, didn't know anything about saving. When you were talking about investing, you weren't talking to me. Mm-hmm. We didn't have an investor. Nope, there's not one investor that ever pushed their feet under our table.
Yep.
We didn't. And I think a lot of people have that problem today.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. That's just a function of cash flow and not knowing where to put it and not wanting to lose money you worked your tail off for. So it's tough. But find a thing that you can invest in that you're comfortable with. It doesn't need to be a risky thing, just something.
But something.
And put money aside, and then it'll be there later for you.
Yeah, and there's no joy, folks, like knowing that when things crash, and they always do, that you've got some money sitting over there that you can pull out, and you don't have to go say to your mom or dad or to a friend, could you loan me? That hurts.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll ask Brian Coon to talk to us more about how we can get on the right foot, start off in the right direction. We'll also tell you about his radio show and his books and how you can reach out to him. So, look, he's the guy that you may want to talk to. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be right back. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, on the Radio America Network. My guest is Brian Coon. He is the author of the best-selling book, The Personal Finance Handbook. All the best personal finance questions and their answers. And it's done in a way, folks, that you don't have to read the whole book to get to what you're concerned about. Because if you go to this book and go to the front of it, the contents, it will list out a host of problems. What is Medicare Part D? What is Medigap? What is Obamacare? When can I take my Social Security? Are there any tax deductions? I love this because you know what? We all ask these questions. Mm-hmm. The problem is we don't know where to turn to get an answer.
Yeah, and you would think you'd be able to turn to the internet if nothing else, but the internet doesn't always have the answer that specifically applies to you, or it's overwhelming. Even other books, you know, the dummies guides and all of that.
Yeah.
There's so much. So just a quick answer. You don't need to read the whole thing, just the sections that apply to you.
And it just goes through everything. I mean, all the things that you're likely to face. And we talked about the fact that you have a radio show, a television show.
It's a television show, actually. It only airs in Montgomery County, Maryland. Yeah, I'm trying to be the next Paul Barry, if I can. But it's a lot of fun. It's on personal finance, and we have guests on. It's a lot of CPAs, estate attorneys, yeah. Financial literacy people, and they come on and talk about their area of expertise. And then career-related stuff, too, like trying to get a job at the federal government or what it's like being a journalist nowadays.
Yeah. Are millennials any more likely to be financially literate than you and I were, or at least than our generation?
I think some of them are doing very well. They're on top of it because they've seen a lot of horror stories,
yeah.
And they've seen some rough times.
They're
now
in debt.
Yeah.
I mean, not most of them, but certainly many of them, and
yeah.
Maybe most,
yeah.
Have by the time they graduate from college or have graduated, they owe somebody $15,000, $20,000, $30,000.
Yeah, but they a lot of them anyway. They work hard. They're educated. They have a variety of skills. It's all about just staying busy in your career, if you will. Like nobody is really like one job anymore. You're not just one thing. You're everybody's an entrepreneur, even if they are or they should be. Try to maximize your skills, diversify your skills, and I see that a lot in the people of my generation.
And do you see that we are going to be more of a service?
Yeah.
Oriented society than a manufacturing or
a freelance society,
yeah.
If you will, and that's the older generation too. I don't see hardly anybody really retire and then not do anything for employment.
Yeah.
They're part time or they're consulting or they're starting a business. I was thinking about making that the next topic, maybe for a book if I could, is part-time retirement. You know?
Yeah.
I think that's happening a lot.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think one of the reasons it's happening is that we live longer, mm-hmm. but we haven't made that adjustment in our corporate mentality.
Yep.
In other words, we're still saying retire at 65 or 55 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are not hardly ready to retire at 55.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that change, I guess, in the demographics of work, good and bad, but lots of reasons. Your spouse is making you do it. Stay busy. Get out of the house. You just always wanted a project that you never got around to do, and you can now. You can work from anywhere, so that allows it. Another big one is people just don't really believe they have the money to retire, so they do it in stages.
Yeah.
And that's okay, too. Whatever keeps you happy and busy.
But going back to your formulas of knowing what you make and what you spend, that's kind of the bedrock. That's where that's the foundation.
Yeah. Well, when you do that same exercise we talked about where the left side is net income, right side is just involuntary expenses, then you can apply that to retire because on the right or on the income side, you can put all the stuff other than work like Social Security, pensions, withdrawals, and match it up.
Okay. And finally, your crystal ball says things are going to get better. Things are going to.
I hope it's okay. The employment picture is getting a lot better. Absolutely. If we can continue to have that a couple months in a row, we just had a fantastic employment number a couple days ago. So.
Yeah, things are looking up.
Yeah.
Where can I find your book?
Amazon. It's on Amazon. You can either get it through Kindle or ordering, and it's not too expensive. And appreciate being on the show.
Absolutely. And is your show on the net or not?
Yeah, it's on YouTube as well. It's called Your Future, Your Finances.
Come on. Give it up, buddy. Give it up. We want to see it. Thanks so much for being with us. Brian Kuhn, the Personal Finance Handbook. It's available to you, folks. I suggest that you go out and get a copy and keep it on your kitchen table. It will be helpful. It's been helpful to be with you today. Thank you. I feel much better when I share this, and I think I've done you some good. I hope I have. Al Peterson, thanks for kicking around with me there, our engineer. We'll be back same time, same place here on the Radio America Network. I hope you found this interesting and that you want to come back and be with us. And my thanks to Rick Edelman as well. We'll see you next week, same time, same place. Goodbye.